Ah, yes, we are mighty because he's present. That's why. 100%. Even when you don't feel him, he's still there. Yeah. We're not meant to go by feelings, yeah? We're meant to go by his word. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he says. Ah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much, Lord, that you denied yourself, Father, and you gave up your king and the kingdom, Father. Your son, Lord, to make many sons and daughters, Lord. Yes, to reconcile, Father, all things back to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. And as I said, you know, I think this is a very timely word because of what's occurring in the world. As I said last week, division. But not for the church. And the Lord, you know, on the way here, he really, you know, again, I had to pull over. He's talking to me, so I had to listen. He started off by saying, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Do not forsake communion with one another. But more importantly, during this time, because of circumstances, do not forsake your communion with your Father. It's very important. It's 2,000 years ago, it was spoken that it was the last hour. I think there may be minutes left. Yeah, it was 11 o'clock 2,000 years ago. So we've only got a very short time to go. And God tells us to be ready, to be prepared. Yeah? And you can't prepare yourself by just trying to do good things and fall into that trap of the law. Fall in that trap of works. The way that he expects his people to prepare themselves is to be in communion with him. To be in fellowship with him. And at this particular point in time, I know I, you know, once again, and I've received another evil report, you know, because in these perilous times, there's going to be, you know, sometimes even words that kind of like, and reports that even seemingly come from the church. It seem good, but they're an evil report. And it's very important to be close to your Father because he's the filter. Yep. Just like in the days of Moses when, you know, they sent out the spies to scout out the land and they came back and they gave an evil report. It sounded good. It sounded like a report that was going to maybe preserve their life. You know, we're grasshoppers compared to them. We can't go there. But it's not what God said. Seemingly, it sounded like a good report, but it was not a God report. It wasn't the word of God. So we, at this particular point in time, must stay close to Dad, must be listening to him, must be walking in the Spirit. Yeah? Not walking according to the flesh, which is death, but walking according to the Spirit of God and being finely tuned to what the Father wants to say to you because he's speaking all the time. I don't know about you, but he talks to me all the time. Like even at 2 o'clock in the morning, he'll talk to me. And he's willing to speak, but are we willing to listen? And that was word that came out. He's looking for faith. He's looking for those who pick up his word, read it, let it seep into the heart and then believe it. And the believing is in your conduct, in your life, what you speak, to do it. Yeah? God says that, you know, James, that don't be just a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. So I want to start again in Philippians and just want to read, you know, what would make, you know, what makes Jesus' joy complete? Because Paul said, I am an imitator of Christ, the imitators of me. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That sometimes actually may mean saying something very, very, very difficult to a loved one. Yep. I've had brothers come to me telling me things that are not the word. So I could agree with them just to appease them, to please man. But I can't do that anymore. And because of that, I may lose even more. But that's okay, because I'm not going to compromise on this word. You see, that's the nature of the evil one. The evil one is very deceptive, is very cunning, and he will come in without even you realizing it unless you're in his word, because if you're in his word, you will see it from a mile away. Yep. And it's our job to be truthful. It's our job to love and speak words seeded with faith, to speak his word. He only responds to his word, and he says that iron sharpens iron. Yep. And he rules his kingdom with a scepter of iron. And love is truth, because without truth, it is not love. So in this hour, in these minutes that are remaining, do not forsake. Stay close to Dad. Stay close to believers who are in one agreement with the will of God. Yeah. What the evil one wants to do is drag you away from that arena of faith. And the sole intent purpose of that is so that he can devour you. Yeah. But I say, bring him into the arena of faith and choke him with the word. That's exactly what Jesus did. I'm not going to play Adam in the garden. I'm not going to be passive anymore, because that's what I was. And by his grace and his mercy, and because I am willing and he's willing and now he can, I choose to be bold. And I choose not to compromise. He only responds to his word and nothing else. Good deeds doesn't respond to that apart from his word. Love apart from his love doesn't respond to that. So in this last hour, let us continue to be of one accord with the will of God and continue to be bold in this hour, because there are minutes left. He's just spoken that to me all week. There are minutes to go. I don't know what that means, but I guess that there's minutes. The nature of God is one. You see, that's where we get oneness from. We have to look to him. We have to look at the Trinitarian nature of God. And I want to go to he wants to go to John chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 7 to 11. It's Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Philip, you've been coming to church for so long, and you still don't know me. You've been coming and you've been listening, but have you been hearing? Have you been hearing? Have you been receiving what I say to you with my heart, Philip? Have you been turning off the mind and receiving with the receptors of your heart who I am?" That's the whole purpose. We're not gathering here to tick the box of attendance to maybe think that we're okay. We're okay because he sent his son for love. And it's to receive that love that makes you okay first. Without the receiving of the love, you cannot receive from God. It doesn't work like that. "He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority. I don't speak of my own accord. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." The Father and the Son are one. Go with me to John chapter 16, just a page after, and verses 12 to 15. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. And it says, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Intercessor, the Counselor, comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth, the full gospel. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son. And he will disclose to you what is to come in the future." Minutes left. "He will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you, all things that the Father has in mind. Because of this, I said that he, the Spirit, will take from what is mine and reveal it to you." He only speaks what the Father says concerning the Son. The nature of God is one. Three in one. 1 John chapter 5, 7. Don't have to go there, but I'll just read it. It says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." That is the Trinity. That is the nature of God. See, the word Trinity doesn't need to be in the Bible. That is the definition of the Trinitarian nature of God. What amazed me is that even when Jesus was on the cross, he was separated from his Father for the first time. But they were still in one accord. How do you do that? It's amazing. He was separated, but they were one. And I want to go there. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 to 10. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. This whole book is about Jesus. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor had any pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He came to do the will of the Father, separated at the cross, but in one accord with his will. And in Luke 22:42, saying, Jesus says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Father, you spoke all the way back in Genesis 3:15 that there would be a time, that there would be a seed that came forth from a woman, and that would be in enmity with the seed of the evil one. Father, not my will, your will. I'm ready to go crush his skull, Dad. God cannot do anything independently of himself. He cannot. And we can go back to John chapter 5, verse 19. It's very important to understand the nature of God, the union that he has, the dependency that he has on himself. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. He can't do anything independent of his dad. We cannot do anything independent of our Lord. And in John 15:5, so if you can go there. You read from verse 1, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word. You're already pruned because of the word, which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We can't get too ahead of ourselves. We are special because we have God in us. Apart from God, we're objects of wrath. We are his jewels again because he put the jewel back in us. We can't do anything apart from him. If you think you can walk this life out apart from him, you're deceived. You can't. It's going to lead to death. And it's going to lead to just a lot of hard work. Peter toiled in the boat, and then the King of Kings comes in the boat and he says, cast your net. He didn't toil anymore. He caught a great catch. Oh my goodness me. The nature of God is one. The Father in the Son in the Spirit in the Father. And he brings us and restores us back into that communion. He brings us back. He reconciles us back. Reconcile to bring back together, to make one again, to make whole. We can't do nothing without him. He can't actually do anything even on this earth without even us cooperating with him. That's going to really stir up a lot of religious spirits. What do you mean? You read the scriptures. Every single time that God wanted to do something on earth, he had to go through man. Sodom, Abraham. Deliverance of his people, Moses. What do you want from me, Moses? You got the staff. Yeah? Put the staff where the water is. Watch what happens. But I need you to put the staff there. He's willing. Why would we pray? What would be the purpose of prayer if he could do all things? Why resist the devil? Why pray for the sick? Why would we do these things if he's in control of everything? He has control in a sense of the end, but that's only because he's finding those who are faithful on earth to bring it towards that point. And I read the scriptures. I wasn't going to go, but I'm going to go to this. So I want to go to John chapter 17. It is the greatest prayer of oneness. And I want to read the whole chapter. I want to read the whole thing. You know what? Because I can't say it better than what Jesus said it. I just cannot. So we'll just go. Jesus spoke these words, lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Underline that. The knowledge of God, knowing him, is eternal life. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me. And they have received them and have known surely that I have come forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. Oh, it's a good day when you know that Jesus is praying for you. It's a great day to know that when things seemingly seem all against you and that you're against all the odds and that, you know, probability in the natural, you're not going to make it. That's what it seems like. And then to have the revelation that he's praying for you in that moment. You're not alone. He's with you all the time. Especially when you don't feel it. He's more with you. Are we opening up our heart to the understanding that he's with us? Yeah. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. This is an eternal prayer. This is a never-ending prayer. And it's being fulfilled right now as we speak. His words are being fulfilled. Thank you, Father. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those, Those whom you gave to me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. His word. What is his word? I think it's Hebrews chapter 4. We'll just go there quickly. Hold your place. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and in the intents of the heart. He gave us a double-edged sword. Oh my God. The word is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Ah, man. I have given them your word, verse 14. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. We are not of the world. We were of the world, and now that he has come, and for those who believe, we are no longer of this world. We are no longer of the curse of this world. We've been removed from the curse of the world. Verse 15, wow. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. But that you should keep them from the evil one. Father, I pray, keep them in the world. What? What do you mean? Why can't you take me home? Keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Keep going in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That is why he says, keep them in the world. Absolutely. And that's in Romans, I wrote down 10:14. We'll just go there. We'll go to Romans 10:14. Thank you, Father. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Father, keep them in the world. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith. The only way to receive this word is by faith. Faith. What is faith? Wow, it's a real tangible substance. It's the substance of heaven. Now faith is. Now. Now faith is. Today is the day of salvation. Now faith is. Not tomorrow. Now. It's the evidence of the things that are not seen. but you know you possess them. You see, for my daughter Natalie, faith is knowing that I already possess that right eye. You see, and that evil report came to me to deceive me into thinking that that was something only for the future. It's not what the word says. Now, he says, take the eye. Take it by faith, son. Believe my report. It's a good one. See how deceptive? And it's so deceptive because you almost want to get comfortable in that notion of maybe later. No. Now faith is. Not tomorrow. Their sound has gone out to all the earth and their words to the end of the world. I guess the church does its job. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who were not a nation. We were not a nation. He made us one. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. I guess I'm a fool for Christ, and I'm quite happy to be one. We'll go back to John. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Can you please tell me what is religious about that? Where is a do and do not do list in that? Don't do this, do that. This is relationship. There is nothing religious about this. The one thing, oh my goodness me, and you all know it. When people come to know that I'm a believer in the Lord, they just say, Joe, you kind of like must do a lot of good things. And I'm like, you don't understand. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with the understanding that he came to bring me back into relationship with him. Hallelujah. To restore value and purpose and meaning, to give us a future and a hope. Yep. He wants to change the heart. He wants to remove the heart of stone. All the issues of life flow out from the heart. He says, I'll take out that heart that's dead and I'll put my one in there and I'll live there. Because he can't live in a defiled body, but he can live in a heart that is his. He puts that back inside and he brings us all the way back to Genesis as if we never transgressed. And he puts a robe on us and he puts slippers on us and he says, hey, go get the ring and put it on my boy and my daughter and go kill the fattened calf because we're going to have a party. I don't know what's religious about that. You read this word, you quickly come to the understanding that it's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with the Father who loves his creation and wants his creation to be one with him. We're going to get to a really, really amazing verse. And the glory, so verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Yeah. Whenever the evil one comes to try and deceive you, just read John 17. You will wreck him. will absolutely wreck him. Wreck him. What have you got to give me? Remember, I think it was Jesse Duplantis. What in hell do you want? I'm pretty satisfied with my father here. I'm going to stick with him. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. Wow. That they may behold my glory, which you have given me. Church, there's going to be a day that we're going to behold the glory of God in his presence. Don't miss that. Yep, set your mind on things above, you see, because, you know, we're in circumstances that even at the moment with our child and, you know, it isn't nice, let's be honest. Yeah, I'm not going to deny the reality of what we're in, but I am going to deny its authority. And my wife, I love her very dearly, and she's a very godly woman. And sometimes, you know, the evil one tries to suck me into that vortex. I'm just going to be real with you guys. Because I see her sometimes in a place where, you know, and I understand it, you know, because she sees our little one. And it hurts, you know, it does, you know. But what a gift God's given me here to go to my wife and I go, hun, set your minds on things above. Yeah. See, this word is so real to me. I have people say to me, Joe, why do you have to always involve God? Go, everything I ask you, man, when I ask you for advice, you always go to the Bible. I go, how do you separate me from my dad? He lives in me. It's the only thing I've got for you. I have nothing else for you. Everything else that I have for you apart from this is going to lead you off a cliff. I can't be separated. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The words that come out of my mouth are seated with faith. I can't speak anything else. So I say to my wife, honey, it is all going to work out. It's all good. He's promised us. We're going to rest in the promises, the great and exceeding and precious promises of the Lord. He promises us. See, he can't break his word. It's actually a spiritual law. He can't break it. His word is above his name. His word defines who he is. His word's settled in heaven. So I guess it's just settled in me. Hey, Joe, you know what? I'm not too sure about this. Well, you keep not believing. That's the difference. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. So if you don't believe his word, what does that make you? Wow. Verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. What a prayer. That is, yeah, I know. I think so, Paul. If I keep going, I may be here for another couple of hours, guys. I'm going to have to just, I will finish. What I want to say, though, is that that's a calling. He's called us into something very special. He's called us to be partakers of his divine nature. I don't know what that means in my mind, but it just sounds amazing. He has called us to be a part of his divine nature. His divine nature. You see, Jesus, what he did was amazing. You see, but if I only have the understanding that he did it in the fullness of being God, Well, then I can maybe just stand back and look at that and applaud and go, wow, that's amazing, you see? But what he did, this is what wrecks me. You see, this is where now I have to lean on him and let the faith of God, because it's not my faith, it's the faith of God in me, it's the gift of God in me, and it's now my choice to exercise that faith, because he did it as a man. He laid down his deity aside, and he did it as a man. And that is an invitation to be a partaker in this life and do what he did as a man by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is, because if I just look at it, and you know, if all that believers do is just, they get taught that he just did it and he was just God, and look, he just did it as God. That's not what the Bible says. It says he did it as a man. He destroyed Satan as a man. He wrecked him on the cross as a man. He made a public spectacle of them as a man. See, now I have an understanding of the invitation. Now I know what I'm being invited into here. And I have to pursue that. I have to pursue that calling. Because it's not satisfying enough. Because if he says certain things, I'll go into them. I will. He's just laid it on my heart. Oh, my goodness me. God tells us to do certain things that are impossible to do. And I've labeled them the uncomfortably comfortable scriptures. Uncomfortable because how? Comfortable because I know he's with me. And that I can rest in assurance that whatever he's called me to do will be fulfilled. And I just want to go. We've got a little bit of time. Go to John chapter 14. I've just been called by the Father to keep going. Sorry, I just have to obey him. John chapter 14 and verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Uncomfortably comfortable. Yep. But then he elevates it. And greater works than these he will do. How could I be content when he says that this is the very reason why I came? I didn't come just to bring you to heaven to forgive your sins so you can keep living the same. To remain broken, sick. No. He came for a greater calling. Greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whoa. So, and I will continue, I will leave it here, but I remember there was one instance when, you know, me and Lou were coming to the fullness of God, we were coming to the fullness of the knowledge of him, and you read scriptures like that. And Lou asked, it was a particular pastor, and he says, what do you do with that? What do you do? And there was no answer. God taught me. He said to me, they turn the page and they pretend that it's not there. And remain comfortable in settling for less. I'm not comfortable unless I pursue him. I'm comfortable when I pursue that. He says, greater works shall you do. He says, the works that I do, you will do. And greater works. If he said it, then it must be true. If he said it, then it must be true. So I'm just not going to listen to man anymore. I'm just going to go straight after what he says. And that is my heart for the church. Don't settle for less. See, the evil ones, you know, plant seeds of doubt, unbelief. Slap him with the word. Slap him with John 17. Say, no, my Father, it is written. My Father said greater works. So I'm going to pursue that. It is the final hour. Yep. Minutes left. Stick with Dad. Do not forsake the gathering. And that may mean in a different context at this moment, but there's ways. God always has a way of escape for his church. Okay? There is always a way. If we stick with him, even Jesus, when he was hard-pressed and they were going to push him off the cliff, God made a way. He just walked through them. I don't know how he did it. He just did. Okay? Stick with Dad. Stick with the Word of God. Read the Word. Let it enter into your spirit. Meditate on the Word, just like Joshua did, because God says, then you will have great success. Because of that, I have great success. I have had great successes in the last 3 years. I've had great victories. His victories through me. I'm a living testimony of this. Ah, thank you, Father. Just finish in prayer. So, Father, thank you for your word. Your word is life. It is true. It is a living spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father, that your word does not return to you void. Not in this church. And my heart, Father, is every believer out there right now in Jesus' name. Come to the revelation, Father, of who you are through your word and by no other means. Let their hearts hear who you are through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.